Your Bible, if you will, this morning, go to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 12, if you would. It's good to have this morning Kathy Wallace's daughter, Megan. I looked up and saw her back there, and we're glad she's here this morning. Good to have her in our service. Hey, we miss our uncle, James. He is not feeling well. I text him. He texted me back and said, not feeling too good today. So he said, I hope maybe I'll get feeling better. I can make it tonight. I appreciate that attitude. The attitude I don't like is the person who calls me on Thursday and says, preacher, I'm not feeling good. I'm not going to be there Sunday. I'm thinking, my soul, surely there's a minor chance you'll be feeling better in 3 days, you know. But anyhow, hey, we're just glad you're here this morning. I trust today the service will be a blessing and a challenge to you. Look, if you will, there in Acts chapter 12. Look at verse 1. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, a brother of John, with a sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison, and delivered him to 4 quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. I'm going to leave off reading right there. Now, friends, look, if you can't figure it out from what we've read, Peter was in trouble. I'll tell you, he was in a heap of trouble, all right? He was in big trouble. Now, it was life-threatening problems, all right? In that day, you could not have been in more trouble than he was, all right? I mean, we just read there in verse 2 that Herod had stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and one of those was James, and he had him put to death. And he saw the reaction of the people. They were glad. The Jews were glad. They rejoiced and it pleased them. So he said, all right, we'll take somebody else. So he grabbed Peter. Now I have a feeling he did not take Peter with the intention of coming in and bringing him in and scolding him harshly. I believe he's planning to kill him. Planning to take his life. So he was in trouble. Now I want you to notice what his friends and fellow Christians did when he was arrested, all right? Now, they didn't fall apart and go into a panic. There's way too much of that that happens. People lose it, all right? Neither did they go to find and hire a lawyer, the best legal mind they could get, to free him. Neither did they go visit him in jail. You said, well, that's the least they could have done. No. If they had gone, they might have wound up in jail with him. So they didn't go. They didn't hire a lawyer. They didn't fall apart. But instead, the Bible says Peter was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing. But prayer was made without ceasing. My friend, prayer is such a tremendous weapon. Hey, it is the method by which we humans can get in touch with God. Prayer is simply talking to God. That's all it is. That's what it is. And I'm amazed sometimes I hear people say, preacher, I don't know how to pray. I don't know how to pray. Yet, those same people have no trouble talking to everybody and anybody else. What do you mean you don't know how to pray? Hey, if you can talk to Brother Leeper over here, you can talk to God. You say, you're saying he's God? No, but I'm saying you talk to God same way you talk to Brother Leeper. You just talk to him, all right? You just get in touch with him. Dr. Lee Robertson, the great pastor of Highland Park Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee, for years, wrote a book of sermons dealing with prayer, and he entitled it Touching Heaven. Touching Heaven. Hey, folks, prayer is talking to God. It's getting in touch with God. And prayer is and does touch heaven. It does touch heaven. Maybe there's some ignorant or unbelieving folks that might wonder why we Christians pray. Said, preacher, why is it such a big deal? Well, there's a lot of reasons. I'm going to give you just a few of them this morning, all right? I want to give them to you this morning. Number one, you need to pray. You need to pray. Now, I'll be honest, I think we often overlook that simple truth. But you need to pray. We need to make it a practice to pray in order to help ourselves. Just in order to help ourselves. You say, what do you mean? Well, it helps the relationship. All right, how many of you are married? Let me see your hand. All right, there you go. Married. How many of you don't talk to your spouse ever? You never talk to each other. Well, no wonder y'all are in trouble, all right? Sitting down here close to the front. Good, I'll be talking to you after church, all right? Hey, there's communication. Communication. Now, there's times that I'll get up in my home and my wife will get up and we'll, you know, I'll go one direction of the house, she goes the other direction of the house, and we don't communicate very much right there. But sooner or later, there's a time where I break the ice and say, how's it going, darling? How you doing today? How you feeling? You know, hey, a little communication's a good thing. Why? Helps the relationship. Hey, you need to pray because it helps the relationship that you ought to have and you need to have with God. Hey, you need to pray because you need to get in the presence of the Lord. You need to get in His presence. It helps us to do that if we'll do it with a proper attitude. If we'll just come before Him, all right? The songwriter said it this way. He said, I've been with Jesus and I'm so happy. I can feel Him in my soul. Hey, being with Him makes a difference. Being with Him makes a difference. I hope when you come to church, I hope you're able to gather together and as we sing the songs of the faith and we hear the Word of God taught, we hear the Word of God preached, we have fellowship with other believers. I hope when you go out the doors, I hope you feel that way. I've been with Jesus, and I'm so happy. I can feel Him in my soul. Now listen, you don't have to come to church to get in touch with the Lord. But Bud, hey, you need to pray. You need that being in His presence. To come before Him. To come into the presence of our God. Helps to improve your disposition. I'm not going to ask anybody ever got up on the wrong side of the bed. Now, I'm sure that only happens to other people. None of us. Now, we've got up that way. We're grumpy. And, oh, my mother-in-law had, I think, one of the grandkids or maybe one of the kids gave her this little pillow that said, did you wake up grumpy this morning? And then on the other side said, no, I let him sleep. All right? Hey, if we'll get in touch and we'll come into the presence of God, it'll help your disposition. It'll help you in the way you operate. Hey, can I say this to you? Help your outlook on life. It'll help your outlook on life. I look around, I see what's going on in the world. It's discouraging. It's discouraging. It doesn't cause you to be optimistic. It doesn't cause you to say, hot dog's going to be a great day. And they're killing each other everywhere, you know, and you've listened to the news. No, you don't hear that and say it's going to be a great day. But if you'll get in the presence of God for just a little bit, It'll improve that disposition. It'll improve your outlook on life. It'll improve, I believe it'll improve your demeanor. Remember when Moses went up on the mount, and when he came back, the Bible said his face shone. It changed his demeanor. He had been with the Lord. Now, I'm not saying it's going to put a shine on your face, but it'll change the way you look, all right? Most of us need the help, okay? We need that. It'll help you to get in His presence. You need to pray, all right? It'll help your faith. It'll help your faith. It'll help you to be more faithful. It'll help your fruit. It'll help your feelings. It'll even help your failures if you just learn to get in touch with the Lord. You need to get in touch with Him. You need to pray. That's the first reason. Second reason is others need you to pray. Others need you to pray. Man, we read that scripture. We just read it here. It was Peter's need that prompted, pushed, and promoted, if you will, the church to pray. They got together. They were lifting up much prayer for Peter. They were praying for him. They prayed because they knew he needed that prayer. He was literally in just dire straits of losing his life. They prayed for him. Why? Because he needed it. You need to pray because others need you to pray, all right? There's somebody out there. We gather together in church and we give prayer requests. There's sheets of paper back there on that table in the foyer that says prayer request, and it's got a place for you to put the date. Nobody uses that. And then it's got who they want you to pray for, the reason, who requested it, you know, and it asks you to give it to the preacher before church service. Hey, why? So I can announce it. Why? Because others need you to pray. Others need you to pray, all right? Hey, we often let people know of folks who have needs. Sometimes they've personally asked us to pray. And I've had people personally ask. Lauren here this morning said, would you pray for me? Pray for me. Personally ask, would you pray? Sometimes it's others ask to pray for somebody they know. Hey, we've prayed for people I never met. We pray for people that I've never met, wouldn't know them except some of you said, I've got a coworker, I've got a friend, I've got a family. Would you pray for them? And you have. You've prayed for people that you do not know. I like it, boy, when we gather together as a church and we give that prayer request and we ask you to pray for somebody we don't know and haven't heard of, and then later they come. They come to church. And I'm able to ask, hey, this is so-and-so, and we prayed for him. How many of you prayed for that person? Boy, it's good to see hands go up. We prayed for him. God answered the prayer. Hey, why do we pray? You need to pray. Others need you to pray. They need you to call on the Lord, all right? People get sick. They have accidents. They do dumb things. They run into problems. They have to make decisions. Hey, we could just go on and on and on. We pray for others because they need that prayer. James chapter 5, verse 16 says this, pray one for another. Pray one for another. I don't know how many times you've heard me stand up here and say, look around, you see these people, everybody you see needs prayer. Needs prayer. Listen, there's people sitting in this auditorium this morning that are hurting. You say, who is it? I don't know. But you get this many people together, somebody's hurting. Hey, there's people sitting in this auditorium this morning with a terrible burden, a heavy burden. They need prayer. They need prayer. You can't look at somebody and say, they don't need prayer. Everybody needs prayer. Everybody. My brother needs prayer. Even more so, his wife needs prayer. She has to live with him, all right? Hey, we need to pray. One for another. Hey, can I say this? Thank God somebody prayed for me. Thank God somebody still prays for me. Then why pray, preacher? One, you need it. You need to pray. Secondly, others need it. Third reason you need to pray is because God encourages it. Go over to Jeremiah chapter 33, would you? Jeremiah chapter 33, if you would. It's easy to find Jeremiah. It's right between Genesis and Malachi. Can't miss it. Jeremiah chapter 33. Such a well-known verse. Verse 3. God encourages us to pray. He says to us in verse 3, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. If that verse not marked in your Bible, and you mark your Bible, you're to mark that verse. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Hey, God invites us to pray, all right? That, what a wonderful thing. He invites us to pray. That invitation comes with a promise. The promise is, I'll answer it. I'll answer it. If you'll write, you'll call, I'll answer it. I'll answer it. You are looking at one of the sorriest letter writers in the world. When I was a kid, I developed this bad habit. When I was a kid, I think I was in the fourth grade, and somewhere or another they came up with this idea of pen pals. And I started writing this kid about my age that lived in Hawaii. And I would write, and that person would write me. And so they'd write, and 3 months later I'd write them. And they'd write, and 6 months later I'd write them again. I'm the world's worst letter writer. But boy, I'm so glad God says, you call unto me. I'll answer you. I will answer you. It's not like writing a letter to me. You may never get an answer. And I just want you to know, if you do and you don't get an answer, I did think about writing you, okay? So if you just feel good about that, I'd appreciate it. Hey, but the Lord invites us to pray. Invites us to pray. Go even further back. Go look at Psalms 50. The 50th Psalm, would you? Notice what the Bible says here. Wonderful, wonderful verse. Psalm 50, verse 14. Psalm 50, verse 14. Here's what the Scripture says. The Bible says, offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay thy vows unto the Most High, and call upon me. Notice, in the day of trouble, I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Hey, we're invited to pray in the day of trouble. Now, sadly, that's the only time some people ever pray. Lord, I'm backed up against the wall. I'm in a hole. I got to have some help. And if you don't help me, I don't have a chance. Hey, can I say this? It's scriptural for you to ask for help when you're in trouble. God invites you to do that. He invites you. Boy, when you're in trouble and you're having that day of trouble, you call me. You call me. He said, I'll deliver you. Hey, you ought to pray. Why? You need it. You need that relationship. You need that time with God. Hey, why pray? Because others need it. Others need you to pray for them. Why pray? Because God encourages it. Oh, wait a minute. It goes past that. Well, would you look with me in Matthew chapter 9? Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. You'll turn there with me. I'm trying to take my time because people complain I go too fast. Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, if you will, down in verse 38. The Bible says this, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And I say this to you, I don't believe that's an invitation. I believe that's a command of God. I believe that's God's command. Why pray? Because God commands that we pray. We're commanded, one, pray for laborers. We're commanded to pray for laborers. I'll talk to people where I'm looking for someone to hire. I'm looking for an associate. I'm looking for somebody to work in our school. Actually, more than just a somebody, several somebodies. And looking, and everybody I talk to say they're hard to find. They're scarce. Maybe it's because we're not obeying the command of God to pray for laborers. Pray for laborers. I think some people are afraid to pray for laborers because they're afraid God will say, how about you? Maybe pray and move real quick, all right? So if he points, he'll be pointing to the person next to you. Hey, listen, we're to pray. We're commanded to pray. Not only are we commanded to pray, but go back a couple of pages to Matthew 6. Matthew chapter 6, down in verse 7. We're not only commanded to pray, but we're commanded, if you will, to in the pattern in which we're to pray. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now that verse does not say when you pray, pray that prayer. Just back up in verse 9. After this manner. After this manner. God commands us the pattern, if you will. Gives us that pattern in which we are to pray. It's not to be vain repetition. When I was a kid, I don't know why, but some way I guess my parents taught me. And when I was a kid, a little bit of a kid, praying, it was always pray at bedtime, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, all right, I pray the Lord my soul to take. And I thought you had to pray that way. So every prayer I prayed started that way. And then after I'd get through that, I'd branch out. God bless mom. God bless dad. If you want to bless my brother, it's okay. And I'd go on and I'd pray for others, all right? But I started with, now I lay me down to sleep. And I just started that way every time. Now that was vain repetition, but it was a kid. I don't pray that way anymore. I hopefully follow that pattern the Lord gives us there in Matthew chapter 6. He commands us. He said, this is when you pray, it ought to be after this manner. He gives us that to pray, all right? Hey, we ought to pray. Can I say this to you, my friend? We suffer because we do not pray. We suffer because we do not pray. You said, preacher, how can you be so sure of that? Well, go to James chapter 4, would you? Hey, hold your place there in Matthew, all right? But go to James chapter 4. James chapter 4, if you will. I want you to notice one verse here. I said this, we ought to pray, we should pray, and we have no excuse for not praying, but we suffer if we do not pray. James chapter 4, look at verse 2. The Bible said, ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war. Now notice, yet ye have not because ye ask not. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying this, we suffer because we don't pray. There are things available to us that we could have if we'd pray. So, well, I don't like doing without. It's your own stinking fault. You don't pray. You don't pray. I said, hold your place there in Matthew. Go back to Matthew chapter 7. Now, we're commanded to pray. It helps us when we pray. We ought to pray for others. Others need us to pray for them. God encourages us to pray. He commands us to pray. And we suffer because we do not pray. We have not because we ask not. But I want you to notice in Matthew 7, verse 11. Now, here's a tremendous verse. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that want it? Oh, wait, that's not what it says. It says to them that ask Him. To them that ask Him. Hey, we miss out. We suffer because we don't pray. We don't pray. Now, the Bible says here we are, evil sinners. We know how to give good gifts unto our children. We know how to do that. We give good gifts to our kids. Well, we'll do it. Now, I may not give good gifts to your kids, but I'll see to it my kids, all right? I'm going to give them some good things. My son's over there saying, all right, Dad, I'm in favor of that. When's it coming? Hey, but we do. We know how to give good things, right, to our children. You with me? Sure we do. But boy, you notice what that verse says. How much more? How much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask Him? Oh, we just get in tune with Him and ask. Just get in tune with Him and ask. Now, here's what invariably goes through people's minds when a preacher preaches something like this. Well, preacher, I prayed God help me win the lottery and it ain't happened. Well, the Bible says, hey, we consume it on our own lust. Hey, there's a lot of things. There's a lot of things that we ask for we don't need. God knows it. There's been a multitude of kids have asked for a horse. Fortunately for the horse, the answer was no. Fortunately for the horse, the answer was no. I mean, you know, people, I want this, I want that, I want that. And no. Why? You don't need it. You don't need it. You won't do anything. You won't take care of it. And we've seen it. I've seen people get things they wanted so bad, and it wound up sitting in the garage in the corner. It didn't need it. Look, your Heavenly Father knows what you need. The Bible said before you ask. But man, He wants to give us good things. The problem is we run short. We don't have because we don't ask Him for some good things. We don't pray about what we're going to pray about. We don't think about what we're praying for. We need to do that. Hey, we don't have things because we don't ask for them. I'm going to give you an illustration that I've given before. When I was a kid, I got started reading Zane Grey Western novels. Don Bush was a member of our church. My dad pastored in Tice, Florida, Fort Myers, Florida. Don Bush was a member of that church. He lived at Lehigh Acres, just a little bit up from there. He'd come to church, and we were in his house one day, and I saw he had that whole set of Zane Grey Western novels. And I think I asked him if he'd let me read some, and he said yes. And I started borrowing from Don Bush Library, and I started reading those. We moved not long after that to Fort Worth. I could no longer get to the Don Bush Library. And I had the opportunity, by that time I was making a little bit of money, and I started buying. I got into a, I guess, club, you will, and ever so often they sent me four of those Zane Grey Western novels. And I'd buy them, you know, and they'd send a little later, send four more, and I'd pay for them. But I'll never forget my dad saying this to me. He said, you know, Marlon, I believe if you'd have asked Brother Bush, he would have given you those books. Bless God, why are you telling me now? Why didn't you tell me that then? When would have done me some good? I didn't know it. Didn't think to ask. How much do we suffer because we don't think to ask? We don't pray. Hey, can I say this to you in conclusion? The first prayer everybody needs to pray is what is often called the sinner's prayer. That publican that day stood next to the Pharisee, and the Pharisee prayed and said, I thank God I'm not like the publican. And I do this and I do that. And the Bible tells us that publican stood there, wouldn't even lift up his head. And his prayer was, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And the Bible says that publican went home justified. Hey, if you're here this morning and you've never prayed that prayer, you've never prayed and asked God to save your soul, that's the first prayer you need to pray. You don't need to pray anything else. That's the prayer you need to pray. You need to pray and ask Him to save you. Forgive your sins. Trust Him as your Savior. Oh, then I'm going to ask you, who needs you to pray for them? Who needs you to pray for them? Your kids? Your grandkids? Fellow workers? Your neighbor, everybody in this building, who needs you? How dare we disobey God and not pray? How can we think of such a thing? How can we think of that? What's missing in your life that could be there? But you never asked. Hey, Peter got out of prison. Why? He prayed. Earlier in his life there, in the Gospels, he prayed a very short prayer. Got him out of deep water. He was walking on the water that night to go to the Lord. He started to sink and he prayed a very short prayer. God save me! Took care of him. Hey, it got the publican justification. What's missing in your life? Because you don't pray. You could have it, but you don't pray. Oh my. We go back there to our text verses. We think of, there's Peter. He's locked up in prison. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. God changed things because somebody prayed. I could stand here this morning and tell you about situations that God changed because people prayed. I'm going to tell you one because I just can't help it. It comes to mind. Boy, back in, I believe it was 1999, there was a terrible accident. Five kids from our Christian school were in that accident. One of them was thrown out of the car, out onto the highway. But the person who wound up most severely injured was the driver, Brother Nathan DeHoyes. He was a junior in our high school. Or maybe a senior. He was in our high school. Terribly injured. The care flighted him. Wound up care flighting him to Fort Worth. And wound up in Fort Worth Children's Hospital. went into that intensive care room. I'm not going to begin to tell you how many times people were called to pray with the idea, if God doesn't change it, he's going to die. Many of you people remember those days. And we prayed. I remember going into that intensive care room. Nathan was in a coma, laying in that bed. I promise you, I've never seen a head swollen the way his head was swollen. He had a massive head injury. Literally, his head was round. It was swollen so badly. And there was an intensive care nurse there. I looked at that nurse and I said, ma'am, I want to ask something. You've worked with these kind of situations. I said, what do you think? I told her I was his pastor. And I said, what do you think about this situation? Her words were, I'll never forget it. She said, if he lives, you'll never know the Nathan you used to know. Wrong!
Amen.
God did a miracle.
Yes,
why? Because people prayed. We prayed. Nathan's still the honoriest rascal you could ever want to know. But he loves people. Still the same personality that he had. Amazing. He graduated from high school on time. Nobody thought he could do it. But God did it. Why? People prayed. Who needs you to pray? Now, I've already said you just need to pray. You just need to pray. So I don't know anybody to pray for. Just pray. Just talk to God. Just spend some time, Lord, it's me. You need to talk to him. You need to talk to him. But there's somebody needs you to pray for them. Somebody needs you to pray. Hey, you need it. You miss out because you don't pray. You don't pray. Hey, what's God speaking to you about this morning? Will you do something? Would you stand, please, with every head bowed and every eye closed today? Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you today as grateful people, Lord, that know we can pray, but, Lord, shamed because we don't pray. And, Lord, I pray you'll just bring conviction to us about this matter of prayer. And, Lord, you do a work in our heart. Lord, the altar's here. Folks need to come. Maybe there's somebody here that needs to pray that sinner's prayer. Oh, God, would you convict them? Don't let them leave lost. Bring them. Give them the courage to walk down the aisle. Take my hand and say, preacher, I want to trust Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to use the invitation this morning because we need to pray. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We sing this morning, page 382, softly and tenderly. Jesus is calling. He's calling you, calling me. And he's dealing with you. You need to come? Say, preacher, I'll pray at home. Well, it might do you good to humble yourself today and do business with him here. We invite you to come this morning. As we sing the invitation, would you come to him? Come on.